I wanted to talk about, as I think it was on the notice it said, the koach of tefillah. You know, tefillah is something which I guess I would say we probably don't talk enough about in the yeshiva. You know, everyone complains we don't talk about Torah, we talk about Musar and about Midos, about Chesed, about sensitivity. But we don't talk about Torah, we don't talk about tefillah either too much. We talk a little bit about it, but not too much, not sufficient. And it's always, listen, tefillah is always, it's like way up there. You know, everything is based upon tefillah. Our success and our hatzlacha is to a large degree, Hashem wants us mispago. Hashem wants us mispago, you know? Anyway, so let's go. So I have a mixture of a couple of different stories I heard recently. I heard a couple of chazal, so we'll try to mix and match and put it all together for you guys. Hopefully you walk out with a better understanding and a better chashivas of the koach and power and the need for tefillah. Someone told me a story about it happened to himself. He was in you have all these famous taxi stories in Eretz Yisrael. Like, it never happened to me. I never walked into a taxi or went on a plane, and the guy next to me, I was Makarov him, and he told me this greatest story. It never happened to me. I don't know, but it happens to everyone else. So whatever. This guy told me this story. It happened to him, okay? He was getting a ride in an Israeli taxi. The taxi driver goes ahead and starts schmoozing. A non-religious guy, no yarmulke, no not from, maybe some feeling you'll see in a second. The stallion tells him his life story. He says, I'm 45 years old. I never got a shidduch. I've been single all these years. I've been trying to get married. Couldn't find any shidduch for myself, 45 years. So I was getting frustrated. So I called up my rabbi. You know, it was good to hear he has a rabbi, but he had a rabbi. He called up his rabbi. And the rabbi says, I have an idea. It's very simple. Why don't you just talk to Hashem, talk to God? He says, what do you mean talk to God? What do you mean talk to God? What is this talking to God? He says, yeah, just talk to God, you know, talk to him. He's right there, you know. I don't mean one of these formal, you know, tefillah things or chakras or mincha ma'arivit, that also, but talk to Hashem, talk to him. So after he told me this advice, he says, he tells the guy in the taxi, you know, the guy who I heard it from, he said, listen, you know, I started talking to God, and I felt very funny at first, like talk to God, look up and talk to Hashem, talk to God. I got used to it, and the punchline is 3 weeks later, I say 3 weeks later, we got engaged, you know. But our most upshot is we don't, you know, we daven, we don't talk to Hashem. We go through the motions, we have the ceremony, we have the, you know, physical, verbal speech we give, we think, we don't think what we're saying, but we're not talking to Hashem or both. It's important. Davening is a communication. Communication between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be done. It has to go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to recognize you're talking to Hashem. Reb Shlomo Shvadron told over a story. I mean, I guess while he was Nifter once, I guess happened a little while back. Tells a story. He's at the Kolsa one day. All of a sudden he sees these two guys drive up with these like big Harleys, the Harley Davidson, you know, the big motor, not the little Tustas, you know, not the little Israeli motorcycles, but the real thing. Motorcycles. They drive up, they get past security, they mamish go right up to the plaza. I don't think they went into the plaza, I'm not sure, they didn't say, but they went right up there where all the VIP cars go. Who are these guys? They're dressed, you know, the works, with the tattoos, with the jeans, with the earrings, whatever, you know, the works, like no shaykhs, anything. They're like the ultimate, like, what are they doing here? They get off the motorcycle, they go to the coast, they go to the wall, they go up to the front over there, and they talk to each other for a minute, take out a piece of paper, write something on it, stick it into the wall. They kiss the wall and they leave. Oh, 2 minutes by the coast, so that's these guys. They get back on their motorcycles and go out. What is going on? No, everyone's staring, you know, like, what are these guys all about? What's happening? So finally someone has the courage or the audacity, the chutzpah, to go over to the wall and take out the piece of paper. What are these guys doing here? You know, I'm not saying that they did the right thing, but that's what they did. They opened it up, and they see written on the paper says, "Please God or please Hashem, whatever it said, please God, help us win tomorrow night's game so we can get to the finals." It seems these two guys were big, like professional Israeli, you know, sports people. I don't know if it was basketball or what, whatever it was. They had a big game, which was tomorrow night, depends, you know, determine who gets to the finals. So they wanted, you know. They wanted Hashem's help, you know. What's Shara Bosai? You know, we think, you know, very frum, this and that, we Shivalite, and, you know, of course we believe in going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening, but even these guys and those shaykhs. heart, deep down, when things get tough, there's no atheist in the foxhole, right? They need Hashem's help because it's time for the final. They go out there. They know where it's at, Rabosa. We also know where it's at, but we don't necessarily feel it. We don't talk to Hashem. We don't, you know, act in a way which we recognize that, you know, you go talk to Hashem Baruch and talk to him. That's where the bottom line is. I'll share with you Chazdar Rabosa. There's a Gemara. There's a Gemara in, you know, and what's the Chashivas that feel? Where does this all come from? So Chazal, there's a Gemara in Pesachim. Pesachim of Kufi Zayim Ra'alaf Tanaban. Halal Zeh. Mi Amro. Right? We say Halal. I think it's from the parish of Lo Ganu. That's the more it's talking about. So what's the Makor? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Moshe V'Yisrael Amruhu. Moshe Rabbeinu Kaisro both said it together. B'shash Amdu Ha'ayam. Hem Amru Lo Ganu. When they stood by the Yamsuf, they all said, "Olam Hashem, it's not for us. It's Tiwa Kadosh Baruch Hu." Okay, what does Rashbam shot? La'achas Avru, after they passed over, not before, but after they went over the Yam, after they had the Kriyas Yamsuf, Kiksiv Heim Ra Hayom Ra Vayanos. Right, the sea already saw, and they ran away. V'sparu Olanu, they dam Olanu. Penyavor paro chero achareha, because they were afraid that maybe Paro and his people come after them, because they had successfully gone through the Yamsuf. I assume as the walls were still up, probably before it came crashing down, right? Before the walls of water came crashing down, they went ahead, and they were afraid that, you know, who knows? In 2 seconds from now, Paro was going to come out with his all his chariots, his 600 rechav bachur, right? And they'll come out and kill us, wipe us all out. They daven, Olano Hashem is not for us, whatever, the whole parsha there, the whole paragraph. That's what the Gemara says. So I think I saw this by, who is it, Rav Zilberstein, Olano Shabeach, you know, the Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's brother-in-law. Anyway, so he says the following, it's a beautiful insight, he says. Tells it for our both, like, come on, you're sitting there. These are Kai Yisrael. They went through the Makos in the Mitzrayim. They just now finished a minute ago seeing this unbelievable Nisim happen all the way from Mitzrayim out, all the, you know, the and they covered, which protected them, miracle after miracle, miracles. Now the grand finale, Kriyas Yamsuf, and they get through. So let me ask you a question. If I would be there, you think, hey, and Hashem promised them, I'll give you the Torah, right? That was part of Hashem's promise through Moshe Rabbeinu. Who in his right mind is going to think that after Hashem did all this for us, you know, the whole thing is a joke, it's all a lie, it's all fraud, and they're going to come out and wipe us out? You see, what do you think Hashem did all this stuff for? You think Hashem made the Nisim just to kill you now? You know, you think Hashem promised you and he's a liar? It's ridiculous. Like, what are they nervous about? You know, Hashem told them, and obviously they'll be saved. What are you davening for? Zetman the Funar, but what do you see from here both sides? There's no such thing. It's not over till it's over, right? Till the fat lady sings, right? It's not over till it's over. There's no matter, even if we know, it seems Hashem is guiding us. We know what Hashem's plan is, but built into the Teva, built into the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, HaKadosh Hu made it that Tefillah is an essential part of things happening. So of course Hashem wants to split the sea. Of course Hashem wants to save them, but we have to do our share. Even though we already know what Hashem's doing, Hashem, you know, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it because he wants to give us the Torah, he wants to save us. He's not doing all these, not wasting all his nisim, wasting his time, you know, to go ahead. Rabshad is, he expects us, that's part of the Teva, Hashem expects us. You want your thing? Go daven. Go express your, you know, request to me. Go ask me for it, right? Talk to me. I want to hear a conversation with you. So even if we know what's going to happen, we know Hashem promised, it's not, but built into it is with expectation. Hashem says, I want you guys to daven. So Hashem says, so it could be we daven in Rosh Hashanah. Hashem should give us a good year, you know, but doesn't mean, so people ask, what are you daven every day, three times a day for? Okay, so it could be the change also, I'm not sure, that could be true, but even more basic, part of Hashem's deal was on Rosh Hashanah, I'll give you this, but you have to do your thing, you have to do your shtadlus, you know what your shtadlus is? Your shtadlus is davening to me, every day, come to me, recognize everything's from me, and that's how you get what you need, but that's built into the deal. Tefillah helps. And tefillah is crucial and tefillah is necessary. I heard there was someone quoted as a, there was a study done by Goyim. His name was, this guy's a physician or some kind of doctor or professor in some university of California. His name is Dr. Randolph Byrud, I think. I think it's Byrud or Byron. I'm not sure. I think it's Byrud. He did a study of 393 patients. Okay, not thousands, but there's a nice sample of patients across the country. 393 patients across the country. What did he do? He somehow, I think this group called Prayer Across America. Prayer Across America. Gaisha, you know, prayer group. They have these prayer groups, you know? So there's a group like that. And he got them, he did a study that half of these patients, right, half the names of patients were prayed for anonymously. It was a double-blind study. No one knew who was being davened for and who they're davening for. You know, they probably knew who they're davening for, but they didn't know who the doctors were, they knew who the people were. No one knew anything. They know who the patients were, maybe a number, which meant the patient in Cleveland and over here. But this was a double-blind study, they called it, and they davened for the three people across America, all types of goyim daven for these 390, for half of the 393 patients. And the results, as you could predict, I'm about to tell you, right, was that from those half that were davened for, there are much less deaths, there are much less, you know, respirators they had to go on, much less resuscitations, you know, we got people in the hospital. But everything else was all the same, the treatment, everything was all the same, except for the one difference. That half of them were prayed for and half of them were not prayed for. And they say it made a tremendous difference. In fact, there was a commentary about this afterwards, that after this thing was published, so a guy who's an expert at all these clinical studies and these medical reports and all the medical journals, that if this would have been something like more tangible in terms of like a medicine or treatment, the physical treatment, of what kind of operation, it would have, the success that this had would have been like headlines in all the big medical journals. Okay, prayer doesn't get big place for them. They don't do too much with prayer. But the bottom of both sides, it's not just we Jews that prayer is successful for. Tefillah is good for everybody. And so it's such a powerful tool we have. You know, someone showed me this, the hair. It's beautiful, the hair. You know, it says by the famous halacha, the famous Pasuk in Torah talks about the person who killed the shogeg. So what happens? He goes out and he has to go to Golos, goes to Ori Miklat, right? How long does he stay? He stays till the Kohen Gadol dies, right? I think Rashi, the Gemara brings, the Gemara also, because what happens? The mother of the Kohen Gadol brings the Rotseach, brings him cake and nash and goodies, you know, potato chips, I don't know, Danishes, whatever it is, you know, a Starbucks coffee, I guess, all the goodies that she can bring. Why? Because she wants to make nice, and we shouldn't daven, because he wants to daven and get free. So daven that the Kohen Gadol should die, and then he'll be able to go free, right? So he has a prince in the gear to have the Kohen Gadol be killed. So Chazal, the mother of the Kohen Gadol, used to go ahead and always provide these people with cakes and candies and cookies and all that, so that, you know, he shouldn't daven so much. He should daven less, shouldn't daven all, whatever. He shouldn't, you know, they should be nice to her son, the Kohen Gadol. About that, think of it. You know, the Kohen Gadol is no slouch, okay? Hey, some of them were wealthy, isn't that? They weren't Roy, but on the whole, he was performing a very important job for Klal Yisrael. Went to Kodesh Kodashim, he was almost allowed in. He was a very special person, and Klal Yisrael needed him. He was serving Klal Yisrael. He served a very important function, like it's like the Rosh Hashiva, it's like a big, like a king, you know, him and the Nasi, the big cheese of Klal Yisrael. So he's doing his thing, Klal Yisrael needs him. This murderer, right? Okay, it was the shogeg, but you know, Hashem doesn't do these things for the righteous people, right? Right? The Megal Suicide Zaka, right? So this guy wasn't such a good guy, obviously. And he killed someone and he went to Golos because of that. But what's gonna happen if she doesn't go ahead and provide the cakes for this guy? He's gonna daven, and potentially the Kohen Gadol can die because of his fearless. What? I mean, come on, this guy's he's a murderer. He's a shogun murderer, he's still a murderer, and the Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Gadol. His tefillah is gonna go ahead and kill the Kohen Gadol because he wants to get out earlier. Like, give me a break, you know? At both sides, okay, obviously, he's very motivated. His whole life, his future, his freedom is at stake, so he's motivated, he has a lot of kavana. He means from the depths of his heart, but his tefillah, an emistic tefillah, which asks Hashem to please, comes from the mouth of a Russia. It comes from a pretty bad, I don't know how, I can't say Russia. He's a pretty bad guy, I assume, because he's a Chol Vadechayev. So he's a pretty bad guy. He's diving for the Kohen Gadol should be killed, and Hashem will answer his tefillos. Like, Isn't that wild? I mean, that even such a person, listen, Ari, you're not like this guy. So if you daven with all your heart and sincerity, obviously, doesn't it mean so much more? Rachmiel, Yehuda, all you guys. And that's Nishai, you too, right? All you guys. If you daven like that, your kochos, your powers of tefillah can be so much more effective, more than the Kohen Gadol. And more than, I'm saying, more than this guy. This guy was able to kill Kohen Gadol potentially if he would have davened. Thank God he didn't daven so much because the mother was there. Those are just another indication of the power, the koach of what tefillah is, whether it's the taxi cab driver, whether it's the guy, the non-from guys on the Harleys, or you know, the guy from across the country, the prayer across America, or this murderer. That's what tefillah can do. So how does it work? What's the basic idea? Let's go back to the basics. How does it work? The famous, I think it's from David Shmuz. I think it's from David Shmuz. Famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Kol Shana Sherasha Mitchilasa Mifasheris Besocha. Okay, I think it's not Tezayin, I don't know exactly. Right? The Gemara says any year which is poor in the beginning of the year, right? So it becomes wealthy at the end. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. It says Mifasheris means that he feels he has nothing. He's a pauper. He's like an ani. Comes Hashem Rosh Hashanah. I have nothing like what I have. So if a guy is margish that, so he becomes very wealthy, so to speak, and he has a good year. What does that mean? So, you know, David Grenat was Mitzayer, a guy has $1 million in the bank. He has $5 million in the bank, okay? Or he has 500, whatever it is he has, right? He has said the hair that whatever is there means, you know how much it means, Ari? You know what it means? Worthless, zero, right? You're Yehuda, right? It means nothing. He doesn't have it. He has if Hashem lets him keep. Hashem is gozer. A good year, Hashem was his, he has it. You know? Now don't ask me, well, you see, most people wealthy on Rosh Hashanah end up being wealthy. Okay, I don't know how that works. I can't tell you. It could be Davin, it could be realized, or it could be a special, he's paying off, he's getting his Om HaBosh share now. I don't know, I can't tell you. But the real din is tell you on how does a person feel? How does a person mind? Does a person know when he comes to Rosh Hashanah, Hashem, please help me. Give me a good parnasa for this year. Give me a good washcloth. He has to be margish that Hashem will come to you like an ani, like a rush, like a person who mamish has kedalam. I think the Gemara quotes kedalam v'charush from the fatul asecha. We knocked on your doors, like poor people, like we have mamish nothing. Because you know why, Rachmil? Because we have nothing. It's all talyan kodesh baruch hu. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is when a person recognizes there's no teva, there's nothing which a person has which is not from kodesh baruch hu on a regular basis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechash B'chayim Tu Ma'asev Reishis. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So he goes ahead and he's kind to us, about chesed to us. When a person recognizes, that's where tefillah kicks in. That's what tefillah is. Who is that? Who's Yitzchak? I don't know. Yitzchak? Who are you? Just welcome either way, for you, whoever you are, Yitzchak. Okay, there's a Gemara. I just saw a Gemara recently on both sides. Gemara is like this, very interesting Gemara. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. Hay Rav Meir Omer. Shnayim Sh'ol Lamita. There are two people, right? They both were very, very sick, deathly ill. They both went to a bed, so to speak, to a hospital bed, okay? And also Shnayim Sh'ol Gardum. They went up to the death cell. They're on death row. Both of them were about to, they're mamish doomed. They're about to die. They were too sick or whatever. V'dinan Shava. And they both had the same, you know, sentence. He said, Yorad v'zoyar. So what happened? One guy was saved. One guy came off the bed. One came off the gallows. He was saved. The other guy died. Says more, why? What's the difference? They're both the same. You know, they both went ahead and were sentenced to death, to die. So why did one live and one died? Says the Gemara, you know why? Zeh hispal tefil shulema nena. One of them was mispal tefila shleima, literally a complete tefila, whatever that means, we'll see in a minute. Bezero mispal tefila shleima. And this other person was not mispal tefila shleima. That one was not nena. The difference was it tefila shleima or not? What does tefila shleima mean? It says Rashi. Rashi is one word. You know, tefila shleima means niskaven. That one person was niskaven, one was not niskaven. So Rabbi Lapian says a tremendous insight. One guy is niskaven, one guy is not niskaven. They're both knew they're about to die, right? One guy goes ahead and davens tefillah shleima, but the other guy is not going to have kavana. He's about to die, right? He's begging for his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He's begging for his life. Hashem, please give me tefillah shleima. Please get me off these gallows, otherwise I'll die. You know, people are very, when it comes to life and death, people are very, very motivated. So what's going on? So you can tell me, one guy didn't, how could it be that a person would be about to die and he wants to daven, but you know, he was dreaming. He was thinking about the Mets. He was thinking about it as a portfolio. He wasn't daven with Kavana. How could that be? Rabbi Yerapian asks. So I couldn't find it inside, but someone quotes me. I think this is what he says. I can't say for sure. I can't quote him. But I have a sword inside, but I think what it means is like this. The young alone miskaven means, or actually, he was not miskaven. That means he didn't have the belief, the feeling, the hargosha, the emuna, that Hashem will answer his tefillos. Hashem could and will answer his tefillos. Right? So what does that mean? What it says alone miskaven. So I think pshat is, if a person really understands that everything's about Hashem, and I feel cherev chadam nachas al-thavar sha'adam, no matter how bad things are, Hashem could, has the power, and if I'm zocha, he'll take me out of the situation. If a person recognizes that, he has all the kavan in the world, right? So that, plus the fact he's about to die, he dives with all the kavan and with the recognition, I'm mechavan more, I think about it more, because this will really help. A person does not understand, it's not ingrained within him, he doesn't feel that reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could help him. It's all beyond Hashem. So, of course, we're down with Kavana, but it's a different Kavana. It's just, you know, Hashem, please help me. But it's like going through the motions or trying, grasping at something, but it's not the same Kavana. It's not the same feeling they're both. And that made a difference by this guy, to stay alive or not. The guy who davened with Kavana Shlema because he understood, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge and he had all the Kavana in the world, he was saved. The other guy did not daven b'kavan shleim because he was lacking his understanding of who's in charge, so he was not saved. Famous Rishim, famous shmuz are both saved. Beautiful shmuz. A whole delegation, I forgot the names of the people, delegation of people came to Chulda HaNeviya, right? The famous Chulda, the prophet, right? And it was right before the Churban Bayis, and it was coming soon. They asked, they went to her and daven, asked Chulda, please daven for us. Daven for us that we shouldn't have the Churban Bayis. Okay? So the Gemara asks, you know, why'd they go ahead and ask her? Yirmiyahu HaNavi was there. Right? He was the God of Ador. They should have first asked, how could Chulda have talked about the prophesied, bring the Nevuah about the Churban? It was in front of Yirmiyah. He was a much greater Navi, a much greater Tzaddik. How could the chutzpah talk in front of him? The Gemara said, well, they were related. He was a cousin, she was a cousin, therefore Yirmiyah was Mocha. But then the Gemara says, but how come they went to Chulda? They should have gone to Yirmiyah Navi. The Gemara answers, because Chulda had greater Rachmanis. On both sides. Yirmiyah Navi was, he's called the Navi of the Churban, right? He was the one that for years he went to give the message Hashem is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash if you don't, you know, do tshuva. It meant so much to him. His whole life, whatever it was, I think it was whole life, he was talking about, and went crazy. He was almost killed so many different times just to give the message over because he cared so much for that, for the Beis HaMikdash. And he was a God of Ador. He was bigger than Chulda was, in the Vius and Sikkus, all that. But with us, so obviously the motivation he had to save Kai Yisrael was enormous. But you know what? Chulda, because she was a woman and she had a greater sense of emotional depth, and she was a Nevi also, she wasn't a slouch, she was a great person. So she would have a little bit extra kavan because she has greater rachmanis from both sides, because she has a kinder, a caring, more caring soul. She'll feel a little bit worse. And that difference from both sides, think about that. That small difference of her love and concern for people can make all the difference in the world of Churban Bayis happening or not. Okay? That's why they went to Chulda, because her extra degree of kavana, of sincerity, of caring. When you daven with Hashem, you have to really care, really, you want, you daven someone's for Shalema, oh yeah, I really want the guy to get it for Shalema, I really want this, I really want this, I want my son, the Shidduch, I want this, or whatever. The greater the depth of a person's concern and caring and closest to Hashem and recognition of Hashem can make a tremendous difference on both sides. Well, they asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The guy came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter And he says, Rebbe, you know, I daven, it takes me like 8 minutes daven Shmoneh Esrei. Can you believe it? 8 minutes, okay? He would, you know, right? We would laugh for such a long time, whatever, right? He davened 8 minutes. Rebbe, I can't have kavanah for 8 minutes. It doesn't work. I can't do it. It's too much. It's too long. What am I going to do? I want to say every single word properly. I want to have kavanah. But 8 minutes is just too much. I can't do it. So Rabbi Shmuel says to him, he says, listen, my dear friend. He says, you go to the circus. Go visit, go check out the circus. Go to the circus. Okay? Go to the circus. Okay, I'll go to the circus. Why do you want me to go to the circus? I don't know. So he follows Rabbi Shmuel's advice, goes to the circus, comes back to Rabbi Shmuel's. Rabbi, I went to the circus. What now? He says, did you see the guy was walking on the tightrope? There was the high wire act. And he was walking, I guess, on top with the balancing beam, whatever, right? How long did it take him to go from one end to the other end? How long? 8 minutes. Okay? 8 minutes. Did he ever lose concentration? No. Why not? Was he a bigger bulk concentration than you are? What, he could concentrate better? But no. So why didn't he lose concentration? You know why? Because he realized that if he does, he's finished. He has no choice. He has to have concentration. Otherwise, he's down. I don't know if there's a net or not. I don't know, but he's finished. He lost the job, or he might die, whatever. He had to have kavanah. You too, Rabbi Shmuel says, you have to make sure, convince yourself, realize that everything is talking about Hashem. I need to have kavanah. Otherwise, what do I have? I have to be mispal properly. I have to have kavanah to Hashem. You have no choice. You're like the person on the tightrope walker, who has to daven to Hashem, who has to have kavanah. Otherwise, he's dead. You too. We have to dehair, everything is b'yad Hashem, and without Kodesh Baruch Hu, nothing happens. When we go to Davin, we want refuah shleima. Hashem should help us. I both say there's two great stories I have, or I guess three maybe. I'll finish that. Okay, I have to go soon. Rav Shmuel Greinemann, you ever hear of Shmuel Greinemann? You ever know who he is? Rav Shmuel Greinemann? Rav Shmuel Greinemann was the brother of the Chazon Ish. Famous name, Greinemann family. Okay, I think, I don't know if it was the wife's, I don't know sure who it was. Rav Shmuel Greinemann was the brother of the Chazon Ish. He goes to the Chazon Ish one day and says, my dear brother-in-law, Rabbi Ish, right? Rabbi Chazon Ish. He says, I don't understand. Like this is after in the late 40s. He says, you knew about the war coming. World War II was coming. I guess you're Ruach HaKodesh. He says, you know, so why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you tell us and talk to us and, you know, and do what has to be done to avert the greatest tragedy in the history of Yiddishkeit? Why didn't you do anything? You know what his answer was? His answer was, he says, I'll tell you why. He says, it was a special Zera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, special Zera. Hashem did not want me to go ahead and know about the pending Korban, about the Holocaust. He didn't want me to do it. Therefore, he took it away. He didn't let me see it. I didn't know about it. But you're right. If I would have known, I would have rallied the Klal Yisrael, would have rallied the world, would have all davened, everyone would have davened their thing. And you know what? There would have been no Holocaust. That's the Chazon Ish talking to Rav Shmuel Greinemann's brother-in-law. He says, we could have done it, but I didn't know. So Hashem realized the Koach HaTfilah, right? Hashem knows that if we daven, Gizunov Klal Yisrael gets together and davens, it'll make a tremendous difference. But, you know, if it's there, Hashem, listen, I don't want Klal Yisrael davening like that. So therefore, Hashem took it out of my sight, and I didn't know about it, and I couldn't daven. Isn't that powerful? You know, we have Corona, right? Shlomo Yosef, right? We have Corona now, right? Do you daven? Okay. Do all the guys on this class daven? Hope so. Because we have the koach, all of us together. I don't mean just the six of us. I don't know if it takes a million or 2 million, a half a million or 1,000. I don't know. But we have the koach to get rid of Corona, right? Whatever it is, as a mushroom, Lav Daf Corona. They could have taken care of the Holocaust. If Kaiser would have gotten together and daven, as the Chazon Ish would have made sure happen, there would be no World War II. I both say there's another story. You guys know about what happened in 1991. Anybody know what big thing happened in 1991? I don't know if you guys were alive then, but some of you guys were alive then. Yeah, I think so.
The Gulf War.
1991, Yehuda, right? You know. What happened?
Gulf War, right?
I can't hear.
The Gulf War.
No, beside that.
Yeah, okay.
What else happened? What major world event happened in 1991? In 1991, the gigantic, powerful USSR collapsed. Right? Broke up, nothing. Overnight collapsed. Not one bullet was shot, no airplane, no jet fighters, no bomb was dropped, nothing. collapsed. And all the historians couldn't figure out why. The economists, the major or whatever, the big thinkers, they don't know why. They give theories of this, but they don't know why. They admit that it doesn't make sense why the collapse. So Rav Matziel Salomon Shlita, he one time in the Shmuz back in the 90s said, Rabotai, I'm going to tell you why it collapsed. I know why it collapsed. You know why? Because back in the 1920s, okay, after the Communist Revolution, right, after 1917, I think it was the Communist Revolution, right, where they threw off the Tsar, they enacted the communism, and you couldn't do any learning. Torah was not available. You couldn't have a bris, no mitzvahs, no shuls, whatever it was. All this was forbidden. So the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Moser got together, realizing this is terrible. We can't allow this to happen because Kal Yisrael will be destroyed. They'll be totally assimilated with no chinuch, no nothing, no future will be destroyed. They got together, two of them, and they wrote letters to all across the country, all across like Europe, I guess, or I don't know where, across Russia, all the place. They wrote letters to everybody. Everyone should please mishtatef and daven that the Soviet Union should be gone, that these problems should be gone. Because it took 70 years, whatever it was, took 65 years. And probably more tefillos on top of that. But that's why it collapsed, because the Gedolei HaDor got the people together with their letters and their inspirational speeches. People daven for the sake that the USSR should be lost. And that's why in 1991, the communist state, USSR, collapsed. On both sides, that's the power we have, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's World War II, whether it's communism, we can wipe it all out with the Koach HaTfilah. I'll just end with one thing, Rabotai. I just heard, maybe you heard the same story recently. It says, what? Okay. Right? It says that Rabbi Kinnerik, that's how, just Nifter. So it says that, someone said he had a heart condition for a long time. For a while, he had a heart condition. And they went to check out who's the best doctor you should have to go to, who's the best heart surgeon. They finally found him. Reb David Shade accompanied him. They went to the doctor's office. Right before they walk into the office, Rabbi Kinnerik Zatzal turns to Rabbi David Shade Shlita. He says to him, he points and says, remember, he's the one. He's the one up there. It's not this doctor, huh? So David Shade says, what do you mean? Remember, you spent all this time trying to find the best doctor. You went crazy. We turned over everything to get the best doctor. Now you tell me, yeah, of course, the Du'avar Shtaz get the best doctor. But the bottom line is, you have to remember, when you go into the best doctor, it's not the doctor about Sayyid HaKadosh Baruch Hu who does it. This just your status to do it, what Apidach HaTeva makes it happen. Ain't no Teva, nothing like that. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should give you the four Shalem, and that's what he told the David Shaykh. Okay, about say if anybody wants to comment or anything, but I have to go to Marvin 2 minutes, so I apologize. But
Rabbi, in the stories that Rabbi was saying with the Koach HaTfilah, what's the fact they didn't daven for Mashiach instead of for the USSR to fall or whatever?
I don't know. Good child. I hear. I don't know. It could be that's harder to get. I don't know. I'm not sure. USSR collapsing is much easier than Mashiach.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Good gosh, I can't tell you why. Well, it could be also the motivation for Mashiach is like an old hat. It's like, for hundreds of thousands of years, it's hard to get the motivator. USSR is, it's here now. It's a brand new thing. Let's get rid of it. Could be that's easier. I'm not sure. Could be it's easier to motivate people. I'm not sure. Good point. I don't know. But that's how it goes. Our both face all in fila. When I'm about to go daf marv now. I'm going to try to motivate myself a little more, because we had said shmuz before that a drop extra kavana makes all the difference in the world, right? Chulda Hanaviya, extra small kavana that she had over Yirmiyah could have saved the churban bias. Could have saved Kal Yisrael from the churban. It didn't, whatever, it still wasn't enough. But, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, says, don't daven after 5-15 times. If you do, I'll have to go to Yisro, and I don't want, that's not good for Kai Yisro to go, because I'll tell us why. But, Hashem says, I'll have no choice, but I have to listen to you. I'll have to listen. So Hashem, no more tefillah, stop. Otherwise, it would be bad for Kai Yisro. I'll have to listen to you. Bosai, I drive to run. Thank you so much for joining tonight. I hope Give you a little more inspiration to daven when that marv tonight or shakras tomorrow. Hopefully for a couple of days more left also. And guys, you can work on them. So I'm being sarcastic, but there's no reason why everyone here always can't work every day a little more. Try another pasuk, another bracha. Have kavana start from the beginning. Only get the first bracha with kavana, second bracha. Try a little bit of time. Matzliach.